Good to see those out this evening, and we're going to continue our thought in which that we started last week. And you remember last week we talked about what kind of a giant do you have, or what are our giants? And so as we continue on with that, and we left off with Samuel and 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, and we stopped at verse 29, where that David had said, "Is there not a cause?" And that's where we sort of cut it from that point. But David has already found out that even within his own family, that there can be ridicule, and that there can be some contentions, and even some in which that would try to bring discouragement. And sometimes we learn that could be, or could have been, one of David's giants, but it wasn't. He continued on, and we find in the course of it that he continues to talk with the men there, and he continues to ask, and then the words that David had conversation with went and got into the ears of Saul. And so as Saul heard it, these words, he asked for David to come. David has an opportunity now to do what he came there to do. Up to now, it was just words, but now he could say, "I'm going to show you why I really came." David no doubt had a lot of faith. And you remember from James chapter 2 and verse 18, where James says, "Yeah, a man may say he has faith, but he says, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." So as David continues on, here he's going to have an opportunity to talk with Saul, who was the king. And as he talks with him, he says, "Let no man's heart fail from him." In other words, don't let the men get scared, because I come here to do a service. I came here to take and fight against this Philistine. Your servant, Saul, your servant will fight this Philistine. If you don't have any men out there that's willing to stand up to this giant, I will. But we find that Saul begins to talk to him and say, "Well, you know, you can't do this. You can't go up against this giant. You can't go up against this Philistine." Then he reminds him of what God had done with him before. "Well, I got into it with a bear, and I took care of that problem. I got into it with a lion, I took care of that problem. And just as I took care of the lion and the bear, I can take care of this Philistine also." You see, David had his trust somewhere else, other than in his physical strength. And we learn in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul said, "Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And you remember on one occasion, whenever that they were sent out, the spies was to spy out the land, they come back and they said, "There's giants in the land, we can't take it." But Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it." It makes no difference how big are giants that we have in our life. We need to realize that with God, we can conquer. We can overcome whatever those giants may be. And that's what David realized. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we find that Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me." Our faith shouldn't be within ourselves. Not saying we shouldn't have confidence in ourselves, because we should have some confidence, but don't be overconfident. Our trust should be in the Lord. It's not wise to put your trust in man. We need to put our trust in God. And so David, we learn from verse 38 that Saul, after telling him, you say, you go fight against this Philistine and the Lord be with you. Now that's a good one to have on your side. That's a good one to have on your side because Jesus tells us, for without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So we find that Saul begins to use worldly wisdom now, and here he begins to arm up David, and gives him, notice what he said in verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor and put on him the helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with the coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. Using worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is no way to do God's business. Not worldly wisdom. Because there's something wrong with worldly wisdom when you go and notice what James chapter 3 talks about. But the wisdom that's from God, it is great. And James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if we lack wisdom, let us ask of God. No, I can get my wisdom some other way. No, James said, if you lack wisdom, you ask of God. Not saying that God's going to pour our heads in. You know, we pray a night before and pour our heads full of wisdom the next morning. It doesn't come that way. But you see, the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of God, knowing God. So as we think about that, here we learn that Saul wants to use worldly wisdom. But David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. Why? I've not tried them. I've not tried these things. And so, to me, I don't know if it will work or not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, they try to accuse Paul, of course, doing things, walking after the flesh or sort of doing things by the flesh. And Paul said, though we be in the flesh, though we walk in the flesh, we're not of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every thought that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Weapons of our warfare is not carnal. It's not carnal, but it's mighty through God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. And he lines up that armor that we're to put on. He lines that up. And if Christians hasn't got that armor on, it's likely where we don't have it, that the enemy will attack. And so that's why we need to be completely armed. We need to be completely armed. Or else we may not be able to defeat this devil. And we learn that in verse 40 he says that, notice this, that he took his staff in his hand, took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. Took his staff. Then he chose 5 smooth stones. Have you ever really thought, I know it may not mean nothing, but there was 5 stones that he picked up. And when I look at that, I like to think sometimes, and maybe I just don't think enough, but here we find these five stones. Here was David. Here was God. There was the Holy Spirit. Here was Jesus Christ. And here was the devil. Five stones. Now that may not be, but when you think of it in this realm, but you will notice he only lost one stone. What was the other four? They were safe in his bag. They were safe. But with that one stone, he slew the giant. That one stone. We notice as we go further down into the chapter, and we learn that the Philistine, when David goes forth and he sees him, he disdained him, it says. Why? Because for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that come out? You come to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now we have the situation where that the Philistine curses David by his gods. Probably Dagon or some gods of that nature. But he curses him. Now you have two kingdoms in conflict. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. The Dagon, or the Goliath's God, and David's God. Verse 45 said, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword, and with the spear, and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of the Lord. When you turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is strong, it's powerful, it's mighty. The name of Jesus Christ is strong, it's powerful, it's mighty. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby man must be saved. You see, there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 9, we find that Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's power in that name. Jesus even tells us in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 21, that in the name of the Gentile, or in the name of the Lord, shall the Gentiles trust. You see, you cannot trust in all kinds of names. It must be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ you trust in, or else you're going to find yourselves a loser. When we believe, we must believe in the name of Jesus Christ. John 3 and verse 18. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When we repent in the name of Jesus Christ. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We confess the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we learn that Paul in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if a person is not willing to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, that person is not willing to have salvation, because that's the only way that he can come. Salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they were told to repent and to be baptized in the name, by the authority of Jesus Christ. No church has a right. No church has the authority to tell you how to be baptized any different than what God's word states. No. Why? Because it's not in the hands of the church. God's law is not into the hands of the church. It's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, because after all, he is the lawgiver. And you cannot go to any authority above heaven. Can't do it. So the name of Jesus Christ, there is power in that name. If you notice in verse 46... or verse 47, it says that these assembled, they shall know that the Lord, David says, they shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. The battle is the Lord's. We need to realize that as well, as children of God. That when we leave this assembly is for the purpose for us to come together, surely to worship God, but it's also to educate us on how to equip ourselves and be able to fight in the battle. The battle is not within this building, or at least it shouldn't be. If it is, there's something wrong somewhere. But the battle is out there. The war is out there. And so when we leave this assembly, we need to realize that it's the Lord's battle. It's the Lord's battle. And we should be good soldiers in that battle. If you notice that in verse 48, when he come and drew near to meet David, this giant, what did David do? Did he hump himself up and hollow out, "Come and help me, come and help me"? But no, it says that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He ran toward the army. And if you notice in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor in which that God tells us to put upon us, as Paul gives, there's nothing to cover the back. Because as soldiers, we don't run. We face the enemy head on. We face the enemy head on. There may be a lot of different kinds of giants that we face from day to day. Different kinds of giants. There may be struggles, maybe hardships, maybe sickness, maybe different things that we face every day of our life. But you see, we can overcome those things. We can overcome those giants. We can defeat those giants. If we be like David, put our trust in the Lord. You remember what he talked about in Psalms 23? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, it comforts me. There's a table before me in the presence of my enemies." We can overcome. We can conquer any giant that faces us. But you see, even one of the greatest giants that may face us is death. But yet, at the same time, as Christians, we can conquer that. We can conquer that. Not that we won't die, because all men will, Hebrews 9:27. But you see, death won't hold us. It won't keep us down. Because God has promised through the Lord Jesus Christ that everyone will be resurrected. Everyone will be. Hebrews chapter 2 says that Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. You see, our captain knows what he can do because he has done it. And we can conquer too. We can be victorious too. David put his hand in his bag. He took thence a stone, it says in verse 49, and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And it says the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Can you imagine if you try to visualize going back there and here's this young man. Here's all these soldiers around about. Maybe standing and watching and, you know, the army of Israel and a Philistine army watching all this go off. Here you see this big giant coming out there and this little young person, young lad, going to meet. Can you imagine what went through their minds, the Philistine army? Man, this little fellow, that all they've got to send out, is that the only one that would come? They probably laughed within themselves, didn't they? They did. And on the other hand, it might have been that the Israelite army, they may have been scared to death. Now, if this is that little guy, well, he'll get squashed. He'll get squashed, and we have to be servants to them. But you see, the difference was David knew who he served. And you know that for us as Christians, we need to know who we serve. If we don't know who we serve, then we're in trouble. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 6? Know ye not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? His service you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see, God's people is to know who they are servants to. Are we a servant of sin, or are we the servant of righteousness? You see, the servant of sin leads to death. And that's what the giant found out. You see, the God he served was not the God of heaven. It led to death. It led to his physical death. That ended up in his spiritual death as well. David knew who he served. He knew who he served. Maybe that's why Jesse sent him in the beginning. Go down and take this lunch. Take this food to the army. We may be small in the eyes of the world. We may be small. But in the eyes of God, we can do great things. And when you go back and notice through time, most of the time it was the small people who did great work. As far as the world's eyes was concerned, Jesus Christ, look at him. Is not this the carpenter's son? He's just a carpenter. You know, he thinks he can do all these things. What if we'd been living back there when Jesus walked here on this earth and stopped and had a conversation with us? What would we have believed? What would we have thought of him? You think that you can save the world? Don't we have giants sometime try to hinder us from when we know things in which that needs to be done? What if I could get that giant out of the way, then I could do something? But you know, as Christians, we can remove that giant. He took that small stone and David had told him earlier that I'm gonna take care of you. I'm going to defeat you. Verse 50 says, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. So now what are you going to do? He said you're going to cut his head off. What are you going to do now? So he takes the sword from the giant. Takes the sword from the giant, the giant's own weapon, and cuts his head off. He not only knocked down the giant, but he took care of the problem. Took his head off. Destroyed him completely. And then later on we find that he, verse 54, David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, carrying around the head of the giant in his hand. But you know, when we find Uri, he took off his head, and the Philistines, they saw that their champion was dead and fled, in verse 51. You see, we also can overcome. We can overcome. How many times has it been, maybe with some, it may not be with the younger that much, but especially people who've got a few years on, that seem like sometimes that you just cannot hardly get out of the bed. You got so many aches and pains and hurts. But once you wiggle yourself around and get out of bed, start moving around a little bit, it seems like those pains slowly, slowly go away. Sometimes, what I mean by that is, sometimes some giants takes longer to overcome. Sometimes it takes a while. But we can be well assured of that we as Christians can overcome. We can overcome. We can overcome, but how is it done? Well, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by putting our trust in the one who can. help us overcome. In Revelation chapter 7, 13, we find here in this situation that one of the elders said, which are these? Because of these are they that have come out of great tribulation. You know, they're the ones that come out of great tribulation. And they've had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. How many of you that wash clothes would take your dirty clothes and throw them into a washing machine full of red dye and expect them to come out white? You see, God's got power. He can take an old, dirty person. What I mean by that, a sinful person. And he can wash them in the blood of Christ. Red. Blood's red. And they come out white. You see, there's a lot of things about God that God can do that we can't. God took two in the beginning and made one out of them. Adam and Eve, husband and wife. When people get married, there are two, but yet they become one. You take the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are three, but yet one. You take the congregation here, whether it's 25 or 30 or 40, or whether it be a membership of 1,000. There's many members, but there's just one body. John 17, that ye all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. A large number make just one out of it when it's totaled out. You see, God's got the power. And his power may even exceed what we can think. And that's why that we, with our little mind that we have, must depend upon a mightier mind, mightier brain than us. We can overcome. And if you notice in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, it says there that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because they did not consider their own lives. They were willing to give it even unto death. David wasn't afraid to go after the giant head on. Wasn't afraid. Because he trusted in God. And as Christians, we need not to be afraid to face the world head on. Whatever the world may bring toward us, whatever the enemy may put at us, because we've got that shield of faith which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We've got that. We can overcome. You see, God gave David a sling, but he gives us a sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have you ever thought why God gave him a sling and us a sword? Maybe it could be because that we don't have as much faith as David did. David had a lot of faith. A lot of faith. But we can be conquerors. We can overcome. He's given us the full equipment to defeat the enemy. But are we willing? But if you notice in chapter 18, that here was the situation after he did all these things, we find that in verse 1 it says, it came to pass that when he had made an end of the speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knitted with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, Jonathan was Saul's son. a king's son. And when you think about it, for instance, here is God. Sent his son into the world. But what did Jonathan do? We find that Jonathan in verse 4 says, Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments and his sword and his bow, his girdle. You know what it tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27? For as many as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. You see, when we obey the gospel, Jesus Christ lets us put on his robe. We become clothed with Christ. Jesus Christ loves us too. We can be conquerors. Looking at the audience, if you're not a Christian, you need to realize the importance of serving God. The importance of being a good soldier. The importance of following the leader, following the captain. Trusting. I went over those things which is necessary for you to become a Christian. If you need to do that, you need to make it known. While together we stand, sing a song of invitation.
Gentle voice of Jesus.